Come on, celebrate. Worthy is the Lamb, worthy of our praise. Worthy is the one who has overcome the grave. Let the people dance, let the people sing. Worthy, worthy, worthy. Worthy is the Lamb, worthy of our praise.
Well, good morning, everyone. Good morning. Let's try that again. Good morning, everyone. There we go. It is a beautiful day this morning. I hope you are having a great day. It's a great time to come and worship the Lord together. Psalm 118 is where our message is coming from this morning. And it starts off saying, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever." Let Israel say, "His steadfast love endures forever." Let the house of Aaron say, "His steadfast love endures forever." And let those who fear the Lord say, "His steadfast love endures forever." And I hope you find time throughout the week to say, "His steadfast love endures forever," and declare that among the nations. So would you join us this morning and stand as we sing, "Today is the Day."
Today is the day you have
today. Yes, give the Lord a hand. This is a day.
This is a day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is a day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Rejoice in the Lord.
Rejoice.
Rejoice.
Celebrate the presence of the Lord, for He is worthy to be praised.
Rejoice in the Lord.
Rejoice in the Lord.
Rejoice.
Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice.
Celebrate the presence of the Lord.
Amen. I hope that wakes you up this morning. And, you know, it's very easy to celebrate the presence of the Lord when we know it's there, when we can feel, we see His blessing on our lives. But there are those days when the clouds roll in and the darkness rolls in, and it gets harder to celebrate His presence. But we know that even when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that the next song says, your perfect love is casting out fear. So we sing that this morning.
Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, your perfect love is casting out fear. And even though I'm caught in the middle of the storms of this life, I won't turn back, I know you are here.
I will fear no
evil. And I will fear no evil. For my God is with me.
Coming for the heart that holds on, a glorious light beyond all compare. There will be an end to these troubles, but until that day comes, we live to know you here on the earth, and I will fear no evil, for my God is with me. Shall I fear? Whom then till that day comes. Still I will praise you. Still I will praise you. Yes, I can see a light that is coming for the heart that holds on. And there will be an end to these troubles, but until that day comes, still I will praise you. Still I will praise you. Singing, oh no, you never let go. Through the coming, through the storm, oh no, you never let go. In every high and every low, oh no, you never let go. Lord, you never let go of me. Oh, oh, oh. Singing, oh no, you never let go. Through the coming, through the storm, oh no, you never let go. In every high and every low, oh no, you never let go. Lord, you never let go. Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, you silence fear. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, your name is a light. Your name is a light that the shadows can't deny. Your name cannot be overcome. Your name is a light forever lifted high. Your name cannot be overcome. A light that the shadows can't deny. Your name cannot be overcome. Oh, your name is a light forever lifted high. Your name cannot be overcome. Your name cannot be overcome.
Hallelujah. Would you please be seated? I have our prayer book here in front of me. We're going to dedicate time now in the service to pray for people who have asked for prayer this morning. Now, I take the time to read through this list so that you can be in prayer for somebody this week from our church who's asking for prayer. You can be in prayer this week for Emmy Zern. She's been a longtime member here at the church dealing with chronic pain. Just be in prayer for her from relief from her pain. Be in prayer for Gail Berger, son-in-law's name is Jerome. He's having a surgery tomorrow. Just be in prayer for him for surgery. For Barb and Ed, they have a prayer request for the Stevens family. Just healing for them. Just be in prayer for the Stevens family, for the mom and the daughter. Be in prayer for Mark Yankovich. He's recovering from surgery. He has tonsils out. Just be praying for him as well. I would like to pray for these people now. Would you please bow your heads and pray with me? And merciful Lord, we do come to you this morning because you are the great physician. We ask, Lord, for healing. for Emmy, that you take away her pain, for Jerome and for the Stevens, as well as for Mark Yankovich, Father, that you would be with these people as they are dealing with physical ailments. Father, these ailments have not gone beyond your understanding. Father, you knew they were going to come. You have allowed them to take place, and Father, I pray that you would take away the discomfort, but more importantly, Father, that we would grow through these pains. Father, I ask that you continue to work in our lives, work in us and through us, that we can be your lights to our community, that we can be the salt of the earth. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it is time for our Good News Mystery Box. If I can have you look at the screens, we're going to have the Good News Mystery Box. Hey, good morning, boys and girls. Welcome back, Shepherd of the Hills. As you can see, I got rid of my gas-guzzling Hummer for a gas-efficient scooter. Scooters are the best, boys and girls. I am enjoying this scooter. I lost my map on the drive, but that's okay. I have made it here to Grand Rapids, Michigan. And guess what, boys and girls? Look what came in the mail. Ba-ba-da-ba! My passport! That means I can travel outside the U.S. now. I'm very excited. I'm going to be traveling across the ocean to the mystical land of Canada. It's going to be great. I'm looking forward to going to Canada soon. And boys and girls, in the meantime, though, I'm still going around sharing the message of Jesus. So I have my mystery box here. You've sent me something in. Let's see what's in my mystery box that I can turn into a message about Jesus. Okay. Well, somebody has sent me, it looks like here, a spoon and a knife. Now, boys and girls, I'm assuming you use something similar to this at home, where you use it for dinner, right? You gotta cut your steak. You wouldn't use a spoon for this, but you cut your steak, and then you could eat your soup with your spoon. Now, boys and girls, these are actually disposable spoons. And do you know how I know that? Or disposable silverware. And I know that because if I do this, it'll break. Boys and girls, in life, sometimes you'll feel broken like this knife. You'll feel like there's nothing that you can do to put yourself back together, and in reality, you can't. I mean, I had a piece of this go flying off over there, and boys and girls, I couldn't fix this. I might be able to mend it back together, and it might look the same, but I couldn't fix it. But the beautiful part is, do you know who can fix lives and who redeems lives? It's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So when you're feeling broken, like you have nowhere to go, and you feel like you've hit rock bottom, and you don't know what to do next, I would encourage you to turn to God in prayer. To recognize that you might feel broken at times, but that God is there, that God created you for a purpose, that he loves you, that you are not made by accident, and that he is there and can redeem your life from the pit. So boys and girls, with that in mind, let's pray and thank our Heavenly Father. And gracious Lord, I am thankful for this day. I'm thankful for these kids. And Father, the times that we feel broken, when we're like these utensils and they get broken and we feel like there's nothing that we can do to fix them, we know, Lord, the only way to be fixed is to turn to you, that you redeem us, Father, that you save us from our sins and that you sanctify us and have us work as a part of your plan. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to work as part of your plan. As always, Father, I ask that you would watch over these kids, that you would continue to lead them, give them wisdom and direction, help them to know, Lord, where you want them to be and who you want them to become. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, as I said, I'm going to be traveling overseas here soon. And you know what? I might go visit my friend King Carl. He told me I can come stop by anytime. I'm going to go see him. So, boys and girls, you guys take care. Have a great week. God bless.
All right, well, all the kids can be dismissed back to the children's church and the care rooms. And as they head out, I want to welcome everyone to worship here this morning. Everyone in the sanctuary, everyone throughout the building, back in the parlor, in the foyer. And of course, those of you who are worshiping with us live at home, we want to welcome you too. If you're able to join us next week in person, we'd love to have you. Just a couple of quick things to share with you as we get continuing here in our service. And the first is when you walked into the sanctuary today, you passed by our agape boxes. Those are those brown, tall wooden boxes in the middle of the aisle. They're there for your tithe, your offering, and any prayer requests that you may have, you can fill out and drop in one of those agape boxes. Those prayer request cards are found on the seat back in front of you. They're yellow, and again, you can fill those out. Be happy to pray about that stuff for you throughout the week. And you can do all of that online as well at our website, soth.church. Just log on there, and you can do Bible teaching, mystery box videos. You can give there, submit prayer requests there, download our mobile app there, which we encourage everyone to do. On the mobile app, you'll be able to find all kinds of great stuff there as well, including our digital bulletin in case you want to use that. But we also have event calendars everywhere so you can see what's going on in the church throughout the week. We don't have enough time to always announce everything, but we do want to make sure you know what's happening. So it's available on the app, on the website. It's also available in the printed bulletin and then, of course, the flyers throughout the building. So you can find it in a number of places. But please do check that out. That would be great. And if you're visiting with us today or if it's your first time back in a long time, we have a gift for you, one of these coffee tumblers. They're available at the welcome desk. Just let them know you're visiting. Be happy to get you one of these. Inside, you'll find a couple of movie tickets to the Boyertown State Theater and a gift certificate to our very own bookstore. We call it Chronicles. It's across the way there in the parlor. You'll find Bibles, books, all kinds of great stuff that'll help you grow in your faith, including our book of the month. It's called The Handwriting on the Wall by Dr. David Jeremiah. And it's all about the prophecies in Daniel and how they relate to what we're seeing going on in the world around us today. And we are living in the end times. We're moving closer and closer to the rapture of the church. It could happen at any moment. I pray that it does. I'm waiting for that trumpet to blow. But until then, we can understand what it is we're looking at. And this is a book that'll help you do that. Again, The Handwriting on the Wall. It's just $5. It is our book of the month for this month. Of course, this being the last Sunday of the month. It's the last week we'll have it as our book of the month. And I think we're not going to be able to get it at the same $5 price anymore. The costs have gone up everywhere in the world. And so this is, you know, no exception. So we'll still have it, I think. It'll be a little bit more. But right now, what we have left is just $5. And I think there are a couple. So if you'd like it, want to pick it up, I do encourage you to do that. But it is available. If you go to the bookstore, you'll notice that the bookstore will pay your sales tax. So that's just one of the things that we're looking to do to make it more affordable, easier to get this and other materials into your hand. But please do check it out. It is back there, and it's there for you. A couple of things to just share by way of announcements, and that is after this service in the library, we'll be having a new members class. So if you'd like to become a member of the church, even if you didn't pre-register for it, stop on by. Come in. We'd love to have you. It lasts for about an hour. Childcare will be provided if needed, and so that will be today at 12:15. It's also the last call for our Friends for Life ministry for the baby bottle blast. You've noticed we have baby bottles out on the table there, and those have been there to pick up, take home, fill up with change, dollars, all kinds of stuff like that, bring it back, and that money then goes to the ministry in Pottstown called the Genesis Pregnancy Center, and it's been there for a while. We've watched it grow from just a center of information and counseling and maybe a small thrift store into a full-fledged clinic today, where they can offer ultrasounds and other kind of prenatal care. And they're ministering to women who are either in a surprise pregnancy or maybe low income, limited resources, and they come alongside them. Everything they provide is free, and so we support them, we pray for them, and of course financially we come behind them as well. And if you're interested in doing that, the baby bottles is a great way, but this again is the last Sunday you can pick those up. You can bring them back next week, sure, but they won't be available for pickup after today. Please do check our welcome desk just throughout the day, throughout the week, because there's all kinds of sign-up sheets there for different things. Things like our women's ministry, our men's ministry, our Seder meal. And just to remind everybody, with the Seder meal, it's not a dinner. It's not like you're going to sit down and it's a chicken dinner with mashed potatoes and dessert and all that stuff. This is the ceremonial Seder that Jesus went through with his apostles on the night that he was betrayed. So we have the matzah bread, which is like a cracker. We go through the prayers that they went through and just kind of just imagine what it is and reenact what it was for Jesus on that last night. So certainly eat dinner before you come, but you can sign up for that and all kinds of other stuff at the welcome desk. And of course, check the bulletin, check the website for more events throughout the week. We'd love to have you join us, but again, we can't mention all of them on Sunday. Well, with that, if you would turn in, or I'm sorry, I do apologize. There is one other thing we want to announce, and that is it's the last Sunday of the month, which means we want to let you know who our missionaries are for next month. So if I could direct your eyes to our screens for our missions announcement.
Good morning. I just wanted to share with everyone our April missions commitments. First, we have Saeed and Habiba Bouis, who are located in Morocco. As you may remember, they are ministering to people in Morocco, but they are also natives to Morocco, and that gives them the unique ability to be able to more easily relate to the people since it's mostly a Muslim country and it's really difficult for missionaries to get into the country, if not impossible. And so prayers are appreciated for them for safety, and as their church continues, their ministry continues to grow, we appreciate your support that you're able to provide. We also have a Visions project for this month, which is our New York City missions trip, which is happening this summer. So you may not have heard about it yet, but we're working on getting a team together. We have adults from the church that we're working with to get signed up, as well as some youth. And going to work with the homeless and some other ministries through Street Life Ministries. So it's not fully 100% decided yet exactly the things we'll be doing, but we definitely want to start to plan for that. And if you're able to help support that as well, we greatly appreciate it. Thank you so much.
And please do pray for Saeed and Habiba in Morocco, of course, that it's a very persecuted area, and it's hard to be a missionary there. We've supported them for a number of years. We're happy to do it. But please pray for them. Consider supporting them. And then as far as the mission trip goes, you can sign up for that right now at the welcome desk. And it mentioned $245 to go. If that's the reason you're not signing up, sign up. We're going to help you out in that. We don't want the money to be the reason that you don't go on the mission trip. So if you're able to pay, then great. If you're not able to pay, but you want to go and serve, sign up. Seriously, we'll help you out. We'll take care of it. We've got scholarships and people give to that and they say, you know what, I can't go, but I want to pay for someone else to go. And so there really are resources for that. If you'd like to, you can again sign up at the welcome desk. And with that, if you would turn your Bibles, we're in the book of Psalms today, Psalm 118. If you brought a Bible, great. If you didn't bring a Bible, for shame. But we are in Psalm 118. There's actually a Bible in the seat back in front of you. If you don't have one, you can open there. We have Bibles in our bookstore. We even have free ones. If it's a person who says they can't afford to purchase one, we have them to give away. We just want to get it in your hand. But we're in Psalm 118 this morning. And it's a message that the Spirit just kind of laid on my heart a number of weeks ago. And it stayed there and just kind of resonated there. And so it's something that I want to share with you today. And I do always want to be sensitive to the way the Holy Spirit leads. I mean, this is Jesus' church. This isn't ours. And if he wants us to go one direction or another direction, and his Spirit convicts us to do that, then that's what we need to do. And so I want to be sensitive to that. You know, the Bible says, very interestingly enough, speaking of church worship specifically in 1 Corinthians 14, that all things are to be done decently and in order. And I think that usually God works through decency and order. It's not chaotic when we come together. Things have a plan, a purpose. It's not just done on a whim. But sometimes the Spirit still gets in and stirs stuff up. And that's where we need to be sensitive to his leading. And so for the next couple of weeks, I want to talk about two things that have been on my heart from the Lord. And, you know, Jesus did that from time to time. He would teach based on what was there, what was coming up, what they were going through. And over the next couple weeks, we're going to do that. But then we'll come to Palm Sunday. We'll talk about that, the triumphal entry. Then, of course, there's Good Friday. Before that, there's the Seder meal on Thursday. We have Easter Sunday. And then after Easter, we'll pick back up in our series where we left off in Matthew chapter 10. But for this week, we're in Psalm 118. And it's a message that I've called Singing in the Rain, Praising God in All Seasons of Life. You might remember or you might have seen the movie Singing in the Rain from 1952 starring Debbie Reynolds. It's a famous movie, a blockbuster. Lots of people have seen it. But even if you haven't seen the movie, maybe you've heard the song that goes by the same name. Now, I will spare you my ability to sing, and or lack of ability, I should say, but I do enjoy the way that song begins. I'm singing in the rain, just singing in the rain. What a glorious feeling. I'm happy again. I'm laughing at clouds so dark up above. The sun's in my heart, and I'm ready for love. Let the stormy clouds chase everyone from the place. Come on with the rain. I've a smile on my face. I walk down the lane with a happy refrain, just singing, singing in the rain. It's a famous song. It's been recited. A lot of people know it, although I have to admit, up until this week, I didn't know the words to it. I remembered it, that it was singing in the rain, something, 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 singing in the rain, and that's just kind of how I remembered that song. But I do think it's got a good message. I think the heart of it is good, and it's applicable to what we want to talk about this morning, and that is, despite what's going on around us, you can choose to have joy. Despite what's happening in the world, despite what's going on in the news, despite what happened at work, despite what the doctor said, you can choose to have joy. And so this morning, that's what I want to talk about, singing in the rain. In Hebrews chapter 13, it says, "Let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God." Now, admittedly, that's easy to do when things are going well, isn't it? It's easy when a plan comes together or things work out the way we wanted. Maybe we got promoted at work, or we got a raise, or you got the electric bill and it was less than you thought it would be. A couple weeks ago, I was at the grocery store and I was there to pick up some things for dinner, but I was walking by the butcher section and they had that case of all these steaks, and I'm a big sucker for that. And I looked in, and oh, there were these beautiful New York strip steaks. They're about an inch and a half thick. Oh, they were so nice. And they rang them up, and they gave them to me. But it was, you know, unplanned, so I didn't think I was going to be picking those up. I got to the register, and I was waiting for the impact. And then right as I was checking out, the lady said, "Are you a rewards member?" And I said, "Well, actually, I think we are." And so she punched in my phone number, and wouldn't you know, 50% of the bill came off the tab. Those steaks ended up to be free. You can bet I was praising the Lord in the checkout register of the grocery store. And it's easy to do, to be joyous in those cases. But what happens when things aren't going so well? When they don't go as we expected? Maybe something we've been working on hard just falls apart before our eyes, or we get bad news in the mail. Or the electric bill comes and it's more than you imagined. Maybe you're ready to leave the house one morning and you get up and you go to the driveway and you find your tire has gone flat. Or maybe you wake up and you realize you should have got gas yesterday because now it's $5 a gallon. These things happen. There's a book that we have at home that we read the kids sometimes called A Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day. And it's all about a young man named Alexander, and Alexander is having a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. He wakes up, and the first thing that happens to him that morning is he trips out of bed. Then he goes and he starts to brush his teeth in the bathroom, but he drops his sweater into the sink. He goes downstairs to eat breakfast, only to find that his siblings had taken all the prizes out of the cereal box, and there wasn't one for him. On the way to school, he has to sit in the middle seat of the car. At school, the teachers are all over his case. At recess, his best friend tells him doesn't want to play with him anymore. And then he gets home, and there's lima beans at dinner. Alexander is having a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. And I think at some point, all of us have had a day like that, where it seems like if it can go wrong, it will. If it could fail, it did. If it could have been easy, it wasn't. You know, Jesus says in John 16, "No one will be able to take your joy from you." But how often do we give it away when we get frustrated? And so this morning, I want to talk about singing in the rain, praising God in all seasons of life. And I asked you to open to Psalm 118, and you'll recognize the verse, number 24. We've just sang it. "This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." I was talking to a person recently who looked at me and said, "You know, you're a pastor. Let me ask you this. if God is loving, how could he possibly allow everything in the world that's happening to be happening? What kind of a loving God could let that go on? And of course, he was talking about the war in Europe between Ukraine and Russia. He's talking about school shootings, the recent COVID variant, whatever number we're up to now, talking about the economy and the gas and everything else going on. How could a loving God allow tsunamis and tornadoes and hurricanes and natural disasters and hunger, for that matter? I was reading just this past week that because of the war in Ukraine, global food is actually at risk, and here's why. 30% of all the grain made in the world or grown in the world comes from Ukraine, and this is the week they should be planting. Well, they're not. They're at war. They've been invaded. And so they're worried because a lot of the grain, which actually equals 15% of all the world's calories, will not go into the nations in Africa that are most expecting it. And so this person asked me, what kind of a loving God could allow all of that to happen? And to be honest, a lot of people ask that question. When we look at the condition of the world and it isn't the way we think it should be, it's easy to get discouraged. Which brings up the first thing I want to mention. When it comes to glorifying God in all seasons of life, we've got to focus on this season, the present, what's right in front of us. Notice how the verse begins. This is the day. That word, this, you know, that tells us that it's a present tense statement. It's what's in front of us. In other words, it's not another day. It's not another time. It's talking about what's happening right now in our lives. Not what happened before or what might happen later, but what's going on right now. But then notice, this is the day, he says. It's the Hebrew word yom for day, Y-O-M. Depending on how that word is used in context, it can mean one of three different things. Yom can be used to refer to a literal 24-hour cyclical day of the earth as it rotates on its axis, on its orbit around the sun. 24 hours is a yom. For example, in Genesis 1, it says, there was evening and morning, the first day. In the Old Testament, anytime you see day preceded by a number, it's always referring to a literal 24-hour period of time. Or later in Genesis 7, it's even more specific. It says, talking about the great flood, in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, on the 17th day of the month, on that day, it says, the fountains of the great deep burst forth. And so it can talk about a literal 24-hour day, a Monday, a Tuesday, a Wednesday, a Thursday or a Friday, or Saturday or Sunday, just so they don't feel left out. But it could talk about a day. It can also talk about daytime, daylight as compared to nighttime, or the darkness that we have while we're at sleep. In Genesis 8, after the flood, God is making his promise to the whole world that never again would he destroy it in a flood. And he says, while earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, day and night, he says, shall not cease. And so it can be a 24-hour period of time. It can be the daylight hours that we wake and we work. Or yom can mean, as it does here, a season, an era, a period of time. For example, in Isaiah 13, it says, the day of the Lord is near. In Zephaniah 1, it says, the great day of the Lord is near. Even Jesus in the New Testament referred to the day of the Lord being a future period of time. I love what it says in Ecclesiastes 3, for everything there is a season. There's a time for everything under the sun. And so you could look at this verse and you could faithfully read it to say, this is the season the Lord has made. This is the time the Lord has made. This is the day, this is the yom the Lord has made. And here's why I make so much of that for all of you who hate foreign language and, you know, wouldn't take it in high school and, you know, just kind of nod off when you start talking about Hebrew and Greek. And I know there's some of you, I see. That's okay. But here's why it's important. If you're going to praise God in all seasons of life, you're going to have to start with this one. the one that we're in. And it might not look the way we imagined. It might be different than what we planned. But this is it. And it has never helped anybody to sit around and grumble because it's not different. It's not what they remember. It's not what they hoped it would be. This is the day. Not another day, not another time. This is what's happening now. This is what's going on right in front of us. This is the day. And so for you, that might mean the sun is shining and the air is warm and things are going well and you have no complaints and people ask you, are you doing okay? And you say yes and you mean it and it's true and everything's working out. And maybe you got a great parking spot this morning and you're leaving church and you find a great quarter on the ground and you know you got the electric bill and it was less than you thought and you got a discount at the grocery store. But it can also mean that for you, this season, this time, this day is a hard one. Maybe you got discouraging news in the mail or over the phone or something you were hoping for fell through. Maybe that was your quarter you lost that somebody else found or they got your parking space. Maybe your electric bill came in higher than you expected. My dad used to have a saying that went, some days are all uphill. And you know what? Sometimes it seems like that. Sometimes it seems like the day is against us, but the Bible says in Ephesians 5, look carefully how we walk, making the best use of the time. Sometimes we're basking in the sun. Sometimes we have to sing in the rain, but wherever you are in life, there you are. This is the day. So focus on the present. Second, understand that it's been prepared. Notice in verse 24, this is the day the Lord has made. You know, more Hebrew for you, but that word made is asah in the original language, and it means to be appointed, more specifically, appointed for the current situation in which it finds itself, made for the reason that it's being used. In other words, whatever's going on in the world, whatever's happening in your life, it isn't a mistake. This is the day the Lord has made. He's created it for a reason. He's created this season, and he's put you in it for a purpose. In the book of Esther, we see that happen. Esther's married to the king. Esther is a Jew. Esther discovers that there's a plot against the Jews to wipe them all out. There's a genocidal plot by one of the king's henchmen to kill all the Hebrew people. Now, she's faced with a great decision. She can either let it go and just happen, or she can break the law. And she can go unannounced to her king while he's on his throne. Even though they're married, the law said if she were to do that and he was displeased with her presence, she would be executed immediately. And so she's faced with this decision, either let this genocide happen but preserve her own life, or go and risk her own health to let the king know what's about to happen. In Esther 4, it says that she was prepared for a time such as this. God doesn't make any mistakes. He made the day for a reason and he put you in it for a purpose. Just so you know, if you haven't read Esther, she does go and talk to her husband, and he receives her well. He's alarmed at the news and actually moves to save the Jewish people. Did you know that during World War II, Winston Churchill was considered and is considered still to be one of the most prominent leaders of all the Allied nations? He was the Prime Minister of Great Britain. And he led that country through that war, which lasted for them longer than we were at war. 1939 rolls around, and one of the greatest crises Great Britain has ever faced happened, and that was the Germans were planning to invade their island. But before they could do that, they had to soften it up and remove some of the barriers and some of the military structures and the infrastructure and the fortifications. And so they sent the German bombers and all the fighters and the German Air Force over the English Channel to wipe out anything they could. What came has been called the Battle of Britain. It was in the skies. And the Royal Air Force, which was greatly outnumbered in every conceivable way, went up and fought against the German planes. They ended up winning the war and winning that battle. And Germany never actually tried to invade the country. Winston Churchill is accredited with that victory. In fact, he was the one that held the nation together through 6 years of war with Nazi Germany. But you should know, after peace was declared, he struggled a great deal. It turns out he was not a very good peacetime prime minister. He became cynical, people became critical of him, and some people often wonder, why is it that he did so well during the war and so poorly during the peace? Well, the only thing I can think of was he was prepared for a certain time and for a certain season, and he served with distinction during that time. In Psalm 139, it says, every day of my life has been laid out before a single day has passed. That means no matter what time you're in or what it looks like, it isn't a mistake. It isn't an accident. It isn't random. It was made for a reason, and you're there for a purpose. And so it says, this is the day the Lord has made. So focus on the present. Understand it has been prepared. It's not there by accident. Third, commit yourself to praise, regardless the circumstance. Notice in verse 24, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. In the book of Philippians, the Apostle Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Now, that's great advice, but it's even deeper when you realize that Paul wrote that from a Roman prison. He was actively under house arrest when he wrote to the Philippian church. He was literally chained to a Roman guard 24 hours a day, waiting for his case to be heard by Caesar, who could just order him to be executed on the spot. He had no idea what was going to happen. In fact, in Paul's life, from that point forward, he would never again be free. He eventually would be killed for his faith. And despite all of that that's going on in his life, he writes to the Philippian church, and the letter is all about joy. That's the main theme through the whole thing. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. And it gives it a different kind of meaning when you realize that for him, that meant despite being in prison, being in chains, being on the verge of losing his life. And here, it says something very similar. This is the day the Lord has made. With everything in it, with all the struggles and all the trials and all the blessings and all the hope and everything that we see, let us rejoice and be glad. Notice how it's a command. It's not a question. It's not an invitation. It's an order. It's something that we're called to do. In other words, it's something that we do on purpose. It's kind of like love. You know, in the Bible, agape love is not a noun. It's not an adjective. It is a verb always. It's an action. It's something you do. And that means it isn't something that happens to you. It's not something you fall in and fall out of. It's not something we're a victim of. Oh, I just couldn't help who I fell in love with. It is something we determine in our heart we're going to do regardless the circumstance. That's why at the wedding vows, we ask the people, do you promise to love? It isn't something that happens to us. It's something that comes from us. But too often in the world, people look at it as something that we're just defenseless against. I couldn't help it. It was just love. What are you going to do? And the problem is a lot of people look at praise like that. It's something we do if we feel like it. And if not, then okay. Yeah, I praised God today. It was a good day. Or no, you know, I just wasn't in the mood for it. That's how a lot of people treat it. If we're in the mood for it, if it seems good, if it's entertaining, if it's something we choose to do, it's optional for a lot of folks. It's kind of like sports teams fans, you know, when the sports team's doing well, you know, rah, rah, let's go, go team. They've got the jerseys, they're watching all the games, they're going to see their favorite players. But you know what, as soon as the team takes a turn or your fantasy player's not doing so well, all of a sudden it's, I can't believe them. They never do anything. They're the worst team ever. Don't be like that when it comes to your faith. Don't be a fair weather believer. You see, your praise of God is directly linked to your relationship with God. It's kind of a barometer of sorts. The stronger your praise, the stronger your relationship. And so it doesn't matter if things are going well or not. It doesn't matter if I'm happy or not. If I'm on a mountain or in a valley, you know what it says? Let us rejoice and be glad. In ancient history, there was a famous battle at a place called Thermopylae, where King Leonidas of Sparta faced off with his 300 warriors against King Xerxes of Persia during their time in history where they were conquering the world. In fact, Persia would conquer Israel at some point, and they would reign over even that. And so Leonidas is there with the Spartan warriors as the Persian king is coming, looking at thousands upon thousands of soldiers and trained men of war. And an ambassador from Xerxes goes over to King Leonidas and says, you know what, you ought to surrender. It's not going to go well for you. And he says, no, we're going to fight. And he decides to stand his ground. The ambassador famously says to him, our arrows will blot out the sun. And Leonidas famously laughed and said, then I guess we're going to fight in the shade. Sometimes you're standing in the sun. Sometimes you find yourself fighting in the shade, but whatever season of life you're in, rejoice and be glad. Commit yourself to praise. And so, when it comes to praising God in all seasons of life, we focus on the present. We realize that this has been prepared. We commit ourselves to praise, and finally, adjust our preference. Notice in verse 24, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. And here it is, in it. It ends with the word it. We're going to rejoice and be glad in what? In it, in the day that the Lord has made. Despite everything going on, we're going to rejoice and be glad in this one. You know, too often people have the attitude that, you know, when things get better, then I'll be thankful. When I get over this issue, then I'll be thankful. When I get my life together, then I'll come back to church. When I get over the illness, then I'll have something to praise God about. When there's finally enough money that I'm not struggling all the time, then finally there'll be something to be grateful for. When things get better, then I'll be thankful. You know, the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5, be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. Not just when it's convenient, not just when the bank account's fat, not just when, you know, there's 2 weeks of vacation left, not just when it feels good and things are going well, but even when they're not, even when it's hard, even when times are difficult, it says give thanks in all circumstances. Be joyful always. If you've ever been in a workout routine, you'll recognize this. There are some days you just don't want to go. You don't want to look at that treadmill again. You don't want to see that exercise bike again. You certainly don't want to get up and drive to the gym again. Maybe you just don't feel up to it. Maybe you're in a slump. Maybe you're not as passionate about it as you were on December 31st when you made this New Year's resolution. And now you're a couple months into it and you're going, you know, do I really need to keep doing this? It hurts so bad. And you might even be sore from the last time because you pushed yourself too far. And so you wake up and this day you say, you know, not today. Today I'm going to take a break. Today I'm just going to hang out at home. I'll get back into it tomorrow. I don't feel like it right now, and I can just take the day off. Every trainer will tell you those days are more important than all the others. Those are the days where you will make or break your commitment. In the book of Job, something kind of similar happened to him. You remember the story. God praised Job. He said, there's no one on earth like this man. He's more righteous than anyone. And Job was. He gave sacrifices to God for him, his wife, his children, for sin he knew about, even sin he didn't know about, but he figured he probably did anyway. He said, I might as well offer a sacrifice for that too. And then Satan couldn't stand it, and he went to God and said, the only reason he loves you is you've made his life easy. Change his season. Afflict him. Let me touch what he has. And you know what? He's going to curse you to your face, Satan says. And so God says, you know what? Try it. And so he does. Satan goes and he takes away Job's home, his property, his servants, his animals, his children. Eventually takes his health and covers him in boils and sores. Takes the support of his wife, who very rapidly says, you know what? Do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die. Get it over with, Job. Then, in the midst of all of his suffering, when he's as low as he can possibly be, Satan brings his friends around him. And you know what they tell him? You know, Job, you ought to be grateful. God is exacting from you less than you actually deserve. That was what his best friends told him. And yet, Job says, the Lord has given, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The point is, Job determined that he would praise God no matter what season of life he found himself in. He figured, this is the day God has given me. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. Think about it like that for just a minute. This is the day that the Lord has made. You know what that means to me? I don't need another one. I don't need there to be peace in Europe for me to praise God. I don't need for gas to be, you know, whoever would have thought we're hoping for $3 again, but I don't need that in order for me to praise God. I don't need the electric company to put different numbers on my bill before I'm going to praise God. You know, this might not be the season of life that anyone expected, but you know what? We don't need it to be different in order to be able to praise the Lord. I remember the first house my wife and I bought together. We got it at a sheriff's auction, which meant we could see through like the windows, but you couldn't go inside. We bought it like that, sight unseen, basically. Now, we knew it was going to need some work, but we really didn't know how much. And so when we finally got in, we realized that whoever owned it before us had punched holes in the wall on the way out, and you know, all the utilities had to be changed. There were no appliances there. Some of the walls were missing. The carpet had to be replaced. The paint had to be done. I mean, it was really a mess. There was trash everywhere. We had a mountain of trash in the back of our yard for I don't know how long before we got rid of it. It was in such disrepair, we had to replace the water meter. You know what I'm talking about? That thing underground in your front yard, the water meter, if you have city water. We called the city and they said, no, it's on your property. It's your responsibility. You need to fix it, by the way, before we'll even turn the water on. We put tens of thousands of dollars into the house just to get it legal to occupy. There were times when we said, you know what? We should have got something else. We should have bought something we knew more about. We should have paid a little bit more money than we had to pay at an auction and got something that didn't take all this work. But ultimately, we kind of resolved ourselves that, you know what? This is the house that the Lord has given us. And as it turned out, it was exactly what we needed. Because when I lost my job and I didn't know what I was going to do for income, I had a wood shop in the backyard that I was able to go and build things and sell them and have an income. When I lost my job and our income dropped, it turned out that the mortgage was little enough because it was an auctioned house that we actually didn't have to move because of that, and we weren't strapped. When we had our children, there was room enough for us to expand and have space for them. It was on a good street. It was close to what we needed. It turned out that the house the Lord had sent was what we needed in the end. You know, you might not be in the job you expected, but you know what? This is the day the Lord has created. This is the one that He's sent. You might not have all the opportunities that you would prefer to have, but here they are. You might not have asked for the challenge that's in front of you, but there it is. And just because it isn't what we expect doesn't mean that we can't still have a good relationship with God. Because here's the thing. The world doesn't get to tell you when to have joy. It doesn't matter what they say on the news or how fearful they say you ought to be. The world doesn't get to define what your relationship with God looks like. I learned that lesson from a woman that I used to know. Her name was actually Joy. In fact, Joyce was her name, but for short, people called her Joy. And she was a sickly woman, one of the sickest people I had ever known. She had a heart condition. They went and they operated at some point. She was infected from that operation, ended up with a bowel resection, a colostomy bag. She had spinal cord issues. They gave her drugs and medicines that weakened her bone. At one point, they thought she was having cancer. It wasn't cancer. And then she finally had an operation that was supposed to fix it all. It only made it worse. I remember talking to her one day because she was always in such a good mood regardless. And I said, how is it that you're in such a good mood, even though all that's going on? And you know what she told me? I'm not going to let this stuff ruin my life. And I thought, wow, I want that kind of faith. You might be in a season of life you didn't anticipate. Maybe it wasn't what you would have chosen, but here you are. And however it looks on the outside, it was created for a reason, and you're there for a purpose. And so you don't have to stop and think, you know, things need to be different before I can have some joy. The world's got to make sense before I can praise God. Got to have all the answers before I can grow in my relationship with Jesus. Don't think the world needs to be perfect, that all the problems need to be solved. They never will be. The world isn't getting better. You know what the Bible says? That in the end times, evil men will wax worse and worse, it says. We don't have to wait for things to get better. Sure, sometimes we might dance in the sun, but sometimes you might be singing in the rain. And so it tells us here, this is the day. Not another one, not a fantasy one, not an imagined one or a preferred one, but this is the day that the Lord has made and made for a purpose. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And Father, I pray that we would rejoice and be glad in the day that you have created, because Lord, this is where we are, and you've put us here for a reason, and you don't make mistakes. And if you've put us here and you've given us challenges and things that we were called to overcome and deal with in our lives, then Lord, we know that we have the ability. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. That doesn't mean that these things are easy. It doesn't mean that they're going to get easier. It doesn't mean that by refusing to give in to the fear of the world that we somehow are minimizing the seriousness of the challenge. But it does mean that our perspective can change. And we're not going to let the world ruin our life. Lord, whatever day it is that you've sent us, and we all have different seasons, different times, different challenges. Maybe we have a prodigal in our life. Maybe there's a child or a family member we've been praying for. And maybe it's a financial issue, and no matter what we do, it seems like we have a hard time getting ahead. Or it's worry over something else, maybe a health-related thing or a job-related thing. Lord, this is the day. Maybe we've been blessed. Maybe, Lord, you're smiling on us and we feel it in our life and things are working out. And you know what? It's been a while since we've been in trouble and it just seems like it's all falling into place. This is the day. And you've created it and you don't make mistakes. And so we pray that we would not let the world take our joy. Despite whatever is going on around us, that we would stop and be glad right where we are, not where we could have been or would have been or were or might be, but where we are. Lord, I saw a banner one time that says, grow right where you're planted. And so, Father, this is where you have us. This is the day with everything in it. This is the one you have made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I pray that we would. I pray that as we go from here into our lives, that we would take this with us. And when there is the temptation to get discouraged, that we would stop and rejoice and be glad. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you please stand as we close our service? And don't forget, check the welcome desk for sign-up stuff. And we'll see you Wednesday night at 7. But God bless. Have a great week.
Trust it.
today. Amen. Yes, today.